Welcome to PCMC Pop Culture Man Children. I'm your host, Mike Buongiorno. I'm joined today by my brother and yours, Mr. Anthony Buongiorno.
Hello, everyone.
Anthony, how are you?
I'm feeling great. How are you feeling?
I'm struggling.
What are you struggling with?
Well, summer is... I get the summertime sadness so harsh. It's my least favorite
season.
As you can see, I'm struggling.
We are really opposites here. I love summer.
Hate it. Hate everything about it.
I love it. Love it. Love the long days.
It insists upon itself. You know what I mean? The way that it's like,
There's a summer culture, for sure.
Yeah. Oof, no. No, no.
Your favorite is fall, because you're a basic white bitch.
No, because I'm a sophisticated. And I'm an indoor cat.
I'm an indoor cat, too. I mean, I'm not out here going outside. I'm staying inside in the air conditioning.
So then what do you like about the summer?
Air
conditioning is nothing but a band-aid for God's mistakes.
I don't like being hot.
Well, then, necessarily. Then what do you like the summer so much?
I'm going to tell you. I like long days. So I like that, like, after dinner, it feels like there's still hours for activities. Whereas, like, in the winter, it's like you have dinner at 4 o'clock, and then it's like, well, it's time for bed.
I disagree. I think you just do activities.
No, because I get sleepy. I like I like the beach very much. I like swimming pools very much.
I do not like these things.
I love air conditioning. I love above all else, I love being off from work, which is the real the real cherry on top.
Sure.
I love it. Mm. I was thinking today, if I work year round, would it be my favorite? And I feel like I probably still would.
Mm. Well, you should respect people with difference of opinion, but I have to say, I can't help but judge your character.
Oh, I'm sorry.
We are, well, they know. No one puts us on without knowing what the title is. They know what we're here to do.
Well, unless we popped up on their feed as like just automatic play next.
All right. We are here to talk about Evil Dead Burn.
Which we just saw.
This is the first time we're doing this outside of the Scream franchise, which is for every Scream movie, we see it and then we immediately react to it.
And we immediately complain about it.
Which I find very fun because typically we have a post-movie talk anyway, so why not record it?
Right.
Also, I like any episode that I don't have to prep for.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Although, so full disclosure, we were going to record this next Friday, but I think, at least where we are, Evil Dead was leaving the theaters. And
when did it come out?
Like 2 weeks ago or something.
That's interesting.
I don't know. But so I had planned on this week rewatching the remake and rewatching Evil Dead Rise, which is the second of like a trilogy with Evil Dead Rise and then the one they're filming now, Evil Dead Scorn. Although they're kind of anthologies. They're not really a trilogy as such. I kind of like this. It's become a kind of anthology series.
So, questions for you. Have you seen Evil Dead Rise more than once?
No, I have not.
Me neither. I saw it with you in the theater. That's the only time I saw it.
I haven't seen the remake more than once either, but I know.
Oh, me too, I think.
People have great, great feelings about the remake.
Yeah, I remember seeing the remake and liking it. I think also, I might be wrong, but isn't the remake like in the same universe?
As what?
As like the originals? Like they coexist in some media,
I think that the tones are all over the place, but I think they're all in the same universe.
Even Ash vs. Evil Dead, the TV show?
Yes. Because this movie posits that Professor Nobe from the original trilogy was part of a larger group called the Circle of...
Wise Men.
And there were other professors and archaeologists or whatever.
And they all have anthropologists. The same tape recorder.
And they all have the same way of speaking.
and voice.
Yeah.
First impressions.
I liked it. I enjoyed it. It did have... Well, I've seen people online saying that there's no comedy in it. And where did the comedy of this series go? And I don't think that that's true. I think there are jokes in this. But I do feel like this movie is the most dour of the Evil Dead movies.
Yeah, I don't remember there being a lot of laughs in Evil Dead Rise either.
No. But it was a family. There was young people. This is just old people. It's old people in an old house.
I'm trying to connect them thematically. Like, is the thread here like families?
Because this one I think very clearly is about domestic abuse familial violence.
Right.
And the violence, and I think with the mother character and the so-called nice brother, the violence of turning a blind eye to it.
Yes, yes.
The first one, by first one I mean Evil Dead Rise, definitely about family, but I don't know. I don't know. I gotta say, just from my memory though, I enjoyed that more.
I enjoyed that more too.
Because it had more of the fun Evil Deadness. Like in this one, she gets like a weed whacker. Like she gets some kind of motorized thing. There's actually a fake out where you see a chainsaw, but she doesn't take it. She takes
jackhammer.
Jackhammer. But anyway, I remember finding the last one more fun. This one is scary and it's depressing, but it's there's not a lot of fun to it.
So yeah, my first impression is that I liked it as well. I guess we should say we are longtime fans of the series.
Yeah, we could get into
from the original. I liked it. I didn't love it. I definitely remember enjoying Evil Dead Rise better. I think for me, something that felt stale was like, okay, so we're back in like an abandoned house in the middle of the woods. Like, I like that Evil Dead Rise was in an apartment building in the city.
Yes.
That was fun and cool and different. So it felt a little bit regressive in that way. And it felt very brutal.
Yes.
In a way that was like less fun and more like, ooh, this is like, I'm uncomfortable watching this.
Right.
And I will say, to your earlier point, I counted 3 fakeouts. I feel like this director really liked fakeouts.
Okay.
There was a fakeout with the chainsaw.
Yeah.
She pulls on two cords. She's like down in a pit. She pulls on two cords, and one cord is the chain belongs to a chainsaw, and one to the jackhammer.
Yeah.
And it looks like she's gonna get the chainsaw, but she gets the jackhammer. Mm-hmm. Then, as you mentioned in the theater when we were whispering, she stabs at one point at Deadeye with the dagger from the first movie, but that's not the dagger,
right,
the MacGuffin of this movie.
Right.
So that's a fake out. And then there's a part where she's reading the incantation, and then right before she says the last word, she says, fuck this, and she puts it down.
Yet in this movie,
which is interesting, another interesting fake out.
The rules are weird in this movie.
Super weird.
How you become a Deadeye is weird. How, what they want, I don't remember the Deadites ever wanting something as aggressively as they have a goal in this movie.
No, in this one they want this dagger that is called the
Condarian dagger.
The Condarian dagger.
Which they say is the only thing that could kill them. Which wasn't in the last one, but was in the original one. It's a dagger made of bones, and it has like a little face on it. And it came with the Book of the Dead, if you remember the first movie. But I don't remember ever being this thing of it could kill Deadites.
And I don't remember it being called the Condarian Dagger, and there was no like...
I think it was called the Condarian
Dagger. Was it? I just remember, and maybe I'm misremembering, it's been a while since I've seen the originals, that like when he listened to the tape, either in one or two, because they blend together in my mind, the voice on the tape, Professor, what is it, Nobi?
Nobi.
Says, you have to dismember them all.
Yeah.
Like that's the only way to kill them, is to cut them into a bunch of pieces.
Yeah.
Didn't say you had to stab him with this dagger.
No.
So I guess, but although this movie, I guess, posits that the grandfather who we never meet, who's long dead of the family in this movie, is the one who has the dagger.
Yeah.
So they want it.
Right.
It also the inciting.
But then why would Ash have it? So it feels like it is all connected, but also it's very loose.
Can we also, I'm trying to clarify some things. It all starts with some woman who emerges from a lake.
Yeah.
Who's a Deadite, who then possesses one member of the family. Do we know who that woman is?
Okay, so I believe she's the woman from the backstory of Evil Dead Rise. Because remember, Evil Dead Rise begins with somebody in a lake. It's...
Okay.
I wish I had rewatched Evil Dead Rise.
I was just like, for a minute, I was like, is this the mother from the last one?
No.
But then
she comes in a post-credit scene.
Spoiler alert, in a post-credit scene.
You say spoiler alert, and we should say trigger warning for all the crazy violence.
Yeah, it's really violent, and a lot of domestic violence.
Yes, yes.
Like a reference to domestic violence.
Yeah, that's one of the things, which is I like that it had this theme of domestic violence just because it was saying something. And the idea that it's like familial violence is almost like a sickness that could exist, yes, in a family. But at the same time, that juxtaposed with the sort of carnival-esque brutality of the Evil Dead series, they're not like – they're kind of strange bedfellows. To be, yeah, saying something all at the same time. To be time, like
condemning violence while gleefully putting it on the screen.
Yeah, yeah.
And violence against women particularly.
Yes, yes.
I mean, the girlfriend character gets brutally killed twice. Yeah. First by the father who takes – they're in a car and he takes the headrest out of,
yeah,
out of the seat with its two spokes and savagely kills her with it.
Yeah.
And then later – when she's a deadite,
yeah,
her boyfriend slams a dishwasher door on her head repeatedly until her head is like mush.
Yeah.
It's like really violent.
Yeah. And I, and in
like
that
uncomfortably
moment,
so.
Right. And in that moment, the central character has a flashback of domestic violence. So she, it's meant to be like, oh, even this so-called nice brother is,
yeah,
also has within him this violence.
Were we to understand that the father was also abusive of the mother? That's the vibe I got.
That's what I inferred. It's never said, but I infer that. Because there's also a connection where, and I should say we're all over the place because we just saw it. And, you know, we'll give a little bit of a synopsis, but, you know, it's an Evil Dead movie.
Yes.
People come together in a house.
See it.
They're a deadites. In the beginning, in the first scene where they were in the club / restaurant that the central character owns with her husband, he whistles at her like a dog. And
oh, then, I didn't notice that.
Yeah, and then she's like, don't whistle at me. And then when they go to the funeral, you see the father whistle at a dog, which triggers her. And then at the end, when she kills the father, she whistles at him.
I don't remember the whistling in the beginning. I must have missed that. I was probably eating my boneless wings.
Yeah. yeah, no, that was great. I really liked him. At the very end when he says, I love you, and she says, that's not enough.
Yes, that was amazing.
That's such a smart thing to say about domestic violence.
Yes, that was really, not really, really great. I like that moment, too. There were the moments where it looked like you saw into the mind of the person who is being enamored by the deadite and what, yes, they see.
Yes.
And what she saw was him in his original form.
Yes.
Saying, like, I love you. And she reaches out and she touches his cheek. And then she says, that's not enough. And she starts crushing, yeah, his head.
Yeah.
So that was cool. I was thinking about, like, other things that are new.
Well, to your point, there's a scene where the mother of the family is in the bedroom.
Yeah.
And her mother, the grandma, is become a deadite. And is kind of trying to, like, you know, work with me. She's not eating her. She's like, work with me. We could be together like a family. And then the husband's outside. And this felt very like Nosferatu. Like, she, yes, opens the thing and she kisses the husband, even though he's disgusting.
And they're like, they start like licking each other and there's like blood going into both their mouths. It's disgusting.
Right.
But she's not
a deadite.
And then
she turns. But she's got the gold eye.
Yeah. So, okay, that's what I wanted to bring. But
she like is a deadite.
But like not fully. So this one, because remember, she at one point, when she's about to kill... then the next scene, she's about to kill Alice, and she says, I'm sorry, Alice.
Right.
So she's not fully a deadite. This one introduces the idea, yeah, that you slowly become it, and you see it – in this movie, it's the eye. One eye becomes,
right,
a deadite first, and then by the time it goes to the other eye, you're fully a deadite.
Right. And you and I were talking about in the series has this happened, and Ash's sister in the first movie, she just – Remember they're playing cards and she's guessing what the cards,
yes,
are, and then,
yeah,
she turns around.
Yeah.
So she becomes a deadite without being, well, it's not a zombie, so it's never like being bit, but it's usually like some kind of violence.
Okay, but bringing up the biting thing, but this movie does have some weird saliva play where, like,
yeah,
he gets the deadite husband gets the wife by kissing her, and then that's how he, like, quote unquote, infects her.
Yeah.
And then there's a part where the deadite young girl takes the grandmother's it's so gross.
The grossest thing in this
she
movie.
She takes the grandmother's dentures out of her mouth and then sticks it in her mouth.
And then sucks on it like she's sucking the
grandmother. But then so gross. But then she puts it back in her mouth and she says, that'll fix that.
Yeah.
Meaning like, I'm gonna infect you with deadite poison.
Yeah, you're right.
Which is, it's weird. I've never
seen totally
like bodily
new thing.
Fluids being like carrying,
yeah,
it. I,
yeah,
don't know. It's weird.
Yeah, it is weird. Also, like, traditional Deadites.
You, Mike was dry heaving during that part.
Traditional Deadites, and when I say traditional, I mean of the original trilogy,
Evil Dead 2
and Army of Darkness. They're like trickster demons. They have a gleeful craziness to them.
Yeah.
Whereas in this, there's a little bit of that, but then there's also moments where it feels like they retain the memory of the person they're in.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like a dark version of that person, which is never what a Deadite is. The one moment that ties this to actually the very last movie, because the last movie does the exact same thing, and it ties it to the whole series, is when they're in the bathroom with the main girl and the mother, who's her mother-in-law, and she's tied up. She says, "You'll be dead by dawn," which is chanted in the last movie, and it's a big thing in the second movie, Dead by Dawn.
It's the subtitle of the second
movie.
Yeah,
Dead by Dawn. There were moments of this, and I'm not the kind of person who is like, will dislike something just because it veers. But there were moments in this that I almost thought maybe the experiment here was how many recognizable things could you strip from this and still it be Evil Dead?
Well, that's why I think there were so many fake outs. It was like, this isn't what you were expecting.
Right, because in the original one, you have to say the words for it to happen.
Right.
And this, that doesn't matter if you say the words or not.
And I said to you at one point, they take the Deadite girlfriend and they stick her in a room and lock her in the room. Yeah. And I turned to you and I was like, oh, this is such a trope in every Evil Dead movie.
They lock one in the room.
She gets out in like 30 seconds.
Yeah.
So she's not, that trope gets turned on its head too.
Yeah. Yeah. It's, it plays with some of that.
I did miss a little bit of the kind of stuff.
The crazy, like, yeah. there's a,
and like the hee-hee-hee-hee-hee.
Yeah, there's a bananas-ness
to
Deadites that I miss.
The only piece of the movie that has that is the head of the Deadite at the beginning while the main character's husband is burning. She laughs gleefully like that over the title card.
Yeah.
And then that's it. The rest of them aren't like that.
Something that the Deadites do now, and this started in the last one, Evil Dead Rise, is a lot of self-harm.
Yeah.
A lot of like...
Well, wasn't that actually the Evil Dead remake where the girl like licks the knife and it like splits her tongue?
Okay.
I feel like it started in that one.
I feel like even though that's not part of this series, technically speaking, the remake is like the beginning of a different timeline. It's like you have the original trilogy with Ash Williams, played by Bruce Campbell, as a sort of like, he becomes like a comic book hero in it and like wisecracking stuff. And then it seems like it's split. They did video games and comic books and Ash vs. Evil Dead TV series that's very funny. And then they did the remake in 2013 and then Rise and Burn. And that's like this whole other thing.
And that's that. Evil Dead, the remake is the one with Mia.
Right. But I can tell you that, so I only saw that once too, again with you.
I saw that with Janine. I think I saw it again with you, okay. Maybe.
So I remember not liking it, but maybe I was a little bit too, you know, it was the first remake of something I really liked.
Yeah.
So I didn't like all the things it did. Whereas now it's sort of like, well, it's interesting because now there's a whole like generation of fans that really love that movie. And for them, that's like the original. And these are like almost like a revival of that.
Yeah, I liked that one. I liked that one too. Also like turned the original on its head because Mia was the sister trapped in the cellar through the whole thing, and then she ends up being the final girl.
Well, from that point on, it's always a female protagonist.
Yeah.
Which in the original has Ash,
the
male protagonist. Part of me still, I don't need it to be funny, but there was a great, especially in 2. To me, 2 is the most famous. Most people say 2 is the best. I think I might still like 1 more. But 2 is the... when they really like figured out the formula and it's funny and scary in equal parts and it's and
whereas Army of Darkness is just a comedy.
Army of Darkness goes too far in that direction.
Yeah.
2 is like the perfect perfect recipe. And I do think that having a sort of hero like that is a fun juxtaposition to all the crazy violence. Because there's no other horror franchise that really has that. Like a true like hero.
Right.
And like I said, at the end of Rise, she kind of becomes a little Ash-like. But in this one, not really. In this one, the central character is sort of brutalized throughout the entire thing.
Yes.
And then survives, but really is put through the ringer.
Yeah. Did you get... So I got two vibes from other movies here. I got heavy Ready or Not vibes, where it's like okay. The bride in this family and like, fuck this family. She yes. even says at one point, fuck your family when yeah. she kills the mother. Yeah. And a little bit of Knives Out with the like old white family and then the foreigner.
Oh yeah, because yeah,
she's,
yeah.
They
that's
make
true.
A they make a big deal of the fact that she's French.
Right. Yeah, yeah,
and
yeah.
And they're just like waspy.
Super. Yeah. Yeah, that is, no, I felt that a little bit too. I felt a little bit too.
Especially at the end when she's smoking the cigarette and they're all dead. I was like, this is like the end of Ready or Not.
That's true. Although I did lean over to you during the movie and said, have you noticed that people smoke cigarettes in movies and TV again?
It yeah, felt it's like cool that again,
went
man.
Away. Yeah, I feel like it went away for a while and now it's back again.
Well, I feel like smoking is back in that everybody vapes now. But I feel like you don't see vapes in TV and movies yet.
Yeah, you see smoking.
Smoking.
I mean, we are living in just a complete nightmare. So yeah, maybe that's
it's
the reason.
End of days, but.
So like people like, whatever, smoke if you got them.
Smoke if you got
them.
I always think of like years before vapes. Remember Juuls? Like,
yeah.
I guess they still have them. But remember like True Detective, that horrible season?
Yeah.
When Colin Farrell's like. Electronic cigarettes. Feels like I'm sucking a robot dick.
Yeah.
And everybody was like, God, this show sucks.
Do you want to take a step back and talk a little bit about our history with Evil Dead?
Sure. Yeah, go ahead.
I think you are the...
I sure am.
The person who brought it into our life.
For once, I'm the person who did it.
Yeah. No, well, it's not just for once. But yeah, I believe you bought the DVD.
I did.
Sight Unseen. Which is something we did back then.
Yeah, but it wasn't totally sight unseen. I think it was.
Well, we had heard of it. Yeah.
We'd heard of it. First of all, the Evil Dead 2 video cassette, the cover, I remember from childhood. It's like freaking me out.
Sure, sure.
The skeleton with the full skull with the human eyes in it. But you know what I think made me get Evil Dead? That it's referenced in Nightmare on Elm Street. That there's an Evil Dead poster. And I remember listening to the commentary and them saying that like Wes Craven put that there as a nod to
Evil
Dead.
Were IMDb kids.
Oh, yeah. And God, those kids, God, that doesn't exist anymore.
And so yeah, we knew it, you know, like we were screen kids and then, you know, so we were, it was like eventually we'd get to it. And then I think you got a DVD of it.
Yep.
Was it the DVD that had the... The DVD case was the Necronomicon, or was that something
No, I got that
later.
It was a very thin plastic DVD case.
Okay. Yeah, and we watched it, and, you know...
I feel like we immediately were like, this is fucking great.
Yeah, and you fall in love with Bruce Campbell, you fall in love with Sam Raimi and his lively, you know... Yeah. Soon after we watched that, he directed Spider-Man, mm-hmm. which was great, and... Sam Raimi has his very, very distinct style to him.
And Oz the Great and Powerful.
Yeah, so good.
The only Wizard of Oz prequel, I think.
Yeah, check out our 400th episode. We talk about it. Yeah, so then there's two, and then three, and then video games, and then there was the musical.
So you know what's funny about three is after we watched Evil Dead 1, I remember us being like, oh my God, that was amazing. Let's like get 2. And I think we got 2 and we got 3.
Yeah.
And then I remember the sensation of watching 3 and being like, I've fucking seen this
yes,
movie before.
Yes.
And then being like, oh, I've seen this on Comedy Central.
Yeah.
And I never knew
we never
that
knew
it
was a
sequel
to anything.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which is like, again, something like that wouldn't happen now, I feel like.
Yeah. Yeah. I remember renting 3, but it's just called Army of Darkness.
Yeah.
And renting it and being like, this is a weird movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, and then we...
The musical.
The musical. We saw that many times.
Yeah. So there was a musical. It was at...
The New World Stages.
New World Stages.
Canadian originally, I think.
Okay. It was two acts?
Two acts. First act was part one. Second act was
part two. Right.
Yeah.
And it famously had great effects where they would shoot blood into the audience. So there was a splash zone and people came and would wear like,
like ponchos, like, and you're stuff. At a goddamn what's his name?
Gallagher
show.
Yeah, and I
tickets were pretty cheap.
Yeah, and we went a bunch of times.
We went so many times.
Yeah, I gotta say, like, it felt like this is the closest to maybe what it was like to be part of, like, Rocky Horror.
Yeah,
because it was cheap and people went multiple times.
Oh my god, it was so, the fucking crowd, it was electric.
Yeah, and there was cheap beer. And yeah. And it was late. It was a late night play.
Yeah, it was. I think it started at 10 or something.
Yeah, it was so, like, you would be, yeah. And I remember one time we went and Bruce Campbell was there and, like, talked a little bit, I think, before or after. Yeah. I don't even remember. He was just there and he was like, what the fuck was that?
Which is one of the songs.
Yes.
What the fuck was
it that? It was great. Yeah, yeah. I still don't, every once in a while I see, like, it's put up somewhere.
But my favorite line of the, is, oh my god, if being dead is cool, consider me Miles Davis.
Yeah.
The sister song.
Yeah.
It was originally called Evil Dead 1 and 2, the musical.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
Which is a fun title.
Yeah, it was great. And so, yeah. So we're
still kind of fans. It was, you know what it was? Everyone in that theater was in on it because it was still niche.
Yes.
Then the remake happened, and now these movies have happened, and now, like, Evil Dead's not niche anymore. Not to sound like a hipster, but, like.
Right. But it feels like our brand of Evil Dead, even though the original producers are the producers behind all of this stuff, there's even in one moment in this movie, you see a photo on a wall of Bruce Campbell just as an homage.
For a minute, I was like, is Ash, like, I'm dying for Ash to be, like, in these movies, like, related somehow. I guess it's just not going to happen.
No, yeah, it's not.
But when I
saw
that picture, I was like, maybe this is, like, they're related to Ash.
I think they made a conscious decision way back with the remake, which is, we'll remake this concept, but we won't remake Ash. Ash has got to be Ash.
Ash is in the post-credit sequence of the remake.
Well, not. It's more like a 10-second bit.
He just says groovy.
Yeah. It's not like he's narratively
in it. It's tonally so doesn't fit.
Right.
But the car is in it too.
Right. So, yeah, maybe it doesn't all, I don't know. Continuity is kind of iffy in all this, but
who cares? Ultimately.
Who cares? Did you watch Ash vs. Evil Dead?
No, I should. I really, really should.
It was a lot of fun. I watched.
It's three seasons?
Yes. I think I only watched the first two, though, because I think it went somewhere else that I didn't have or something.
Or maybe it was on
Stars, and then I stopped having Stars, and I got to go back and watch it. It was actually really fun.
It's not on the Chiller Network or whatever the fuck you have.
I don't have Chiller. I have Shudder.
Oh, is Chiller real? Did I just make that up?
I think Chiller is
real. It's on the Sprite Network.
There's also something called, like, Screambox or something. There's a bunch of scary streamers. But the first two were really good. First two seasons are really good. I remember really liking it. And they brought back the sister character, and they brought back a lot of things. They did a... Sam Raimi was very involved in it. It was kind of like...
She's alive, the sister?
I forget how they bring her back. They do a lot of crazy shit.
Probably like time travel and shit.
Yeah, they do a lot of crazy shit. That you meet Ash's
father. Well, I mean, there's time travel
father.
In the original movies.
Yes, really, the last one's in medieval times, which is crazy. So,
baby, you got real ugly.
So, do you think that these movies could use more
levity?
Levity,
a touch.
Yeah.
Especially, I don't know. See, the humor might have been out of place, though, because, like you said, this one's so dark. It's like the themes are so heavy.
Yeah, it's more than dark. It's sad.
It's, like, very sad and very brutal and very, like, heavy.
Yeah.
So maybe, I mean, there were a couple of laughs. But
honestly, I don't think they weren't comic relief because they didn't relieve me.
No.
There was jokes.
One part where somebody was, like, freaking out, and then, like, two characters, like, both peered in from behind a wall and then both pulled back.
That was fun.
That was kind of funny. But everything else was kind of just, like, faces that were kind of funny.
Right.
There were no, like, I don't remember there being any, like, jokes.
There was some jokes, like, with the grandmother constantly accusing the girl of stealing.
Oh, yeah.
You know, there were some bits in it, but I don't think they ever really worked comedically. Because the whole thing is such a
domestic bummer. Drama.
This is
I feel like this one's a little less will be less memorable than Rise.
I agree. I think Rise just felt more fun.
I guess we should say in the post-credit sequence, the mother from Rise shows up in a mirror. Right. The rules are out the window.
I don't know what the rules mean at all. Also, I like, how can she be back? And but yeah. She also, like, she said mama's home. So, like, she, I guess they're setting her up as to be some sort of, like, mother figure within the Deadites.
Yeah, like, mama's back was her line.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Something, yeah.
And she kills a child. Also very...
And a dog gets killed in this.
Yes. Oh, my God. Did you hear me? I was like, no. Yeah. You cannot.
You don't want a dog.
Oh, my God.
Although then you do have a dog Deadite, which is
which
fun.
Which is fun. But the father takes a fork. Yeah. And he stabs the dog to death with a fork. And I was just like, I can't. I can watch somebody be fucking dismembered. I can't watch a dog
get hurt. Of course. Well, you went to the bathroom through some of that. But the dinner scene was pretty crazy tense. Because it's a whole family sitting around, and the father's already kind of possessed, and the main character, oh, we haven't even said what the fucking movie is. So there's
that dinner scene. Have you seen Saltburn? That dinner scene reminded me of the dinner scenes from Saltburn.
I haven't seen Saltburn.
It's a good movie.
So there are four central characters, two couples, and the two guys are brothers. I don't remember anybody's fucking
name. Alice is the French, the main girl,
and one of the brothers is abusive to. His wife, who is she Alice?
She's Alice, yeah.
Abusive to her, and she's French, and they met in France because he was a chef or he wanted, I don't know, whatever. They say he owns a restaurant, but it also looks like a nightclub. People are twerking in it.
Yeah, there was twerking, like, ass in the camera. It was weird.
Yeah, anyway, he drives drunk and hits a Deadite, and then the Deadite burns him, and that starts the theme of burn. And then it's his funeral, and then they all
go. The two fishermen.
Yeah, nice. Yeah, in the beginning.
Yeah.
And it's basically after the funeral, they go back to the house, and there is the main girl who's this kind of fish out of water because she's the wife that everyone kind of doesn't like.
Except the brother kind of wants to fuck.
Yeah, there's a brother who's kind of like, I'm a nice guy, but he's kind of gross. And he's the one whose fault it is because he's the one who, like, I guess unearthed the recordings or whatever. And then his girlfriend.
Okay, wait, hold on. I have a question about that.
Yeah.
Sorry to cut you off. I was confused about the chronology.
Yeah.
Because it looks like he unearths it, but he's got the pen already. He drops the pen that he got as a gift.
That was the pen, the gift pen?
Yes.
Oh, I don't know the chronology. I don't know. Also, like.
So then.
He doesn't have the Book of the Dead. Right? I guess that's still the one from the original.
He's got like a book that has scrapbook that has like copies of pages in it.
And that's enough, I guess. They say something in this one.
Yeah, you don't see the Necronomicon in this.
Yeah. They say something in this one about like just unearthing something will make them come.
I don't know. Kanda.
Yeah. And all hell breaks loose. There's the mother who is like this very waspy woman who doesn't like the daughter-in-law, and the father who's a filthy frog. Yeah, and the father who's sort of abusive. Well, both girlfriends are women of color in this great family.
Yeah.
And then there's the old grandma who is very casually racist and has dementia. And then the mother
accusing the one girlfriend is stealing from her.
Yeah, and. And then all hell breaks loose. The dinner scene's very crazy because, like, the mother's like, are you – the mother serves them frozen food, and they're like, you can't even tell it's frozen. And the mother's like, well, I hope you can tell because you're going to be running the restaurant, and that's – you should know good food. And then she's like, well, I don't know if we should talk about this now, but I don't know if I want to run the restaurant. And the mother's like, what do you mean you want to run? You have to honor your husband's memory or whatever. And then the father starts – and then the kid – the boy – the brother starts defending her, but the father's like, you should have been the one who died.
Yeah.
And then he stabs the dog and it just gets bananas.
It's horrible. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's brutal.
Yeah, the killing of the dog.
The original movie was brutal in a way. But not like this.
No, and like in a fun
the
way.
The remake in 2013, I think, was growing out of a sort of hostile Saw time where there was a lot of torture porn, and I feel like that has stuck with this series, which is fine, but at the same time, I don't know, it brings you into a different dimension in a way. Especially the self-harm stuff is very, very weird.
I will say this, there was a lot of There was a lot of interesting camera work.
Oh, yes, for sure.
And some, I was sitting there kind of wondering why some things happened off camera. Did you notice that?
And like, what do you mean?
So there was a lot of, the camera moved in interesting ways, and there was a few times where, like, the violence would be happening in the background.
Oh, yeah, yeah, you're right.
And then you're looking at a character who's, like, crawling away from it. Or is on in a different part of the room.
Yeah.
Or something.
Yeah, you're right.
So it was interesting at times when the camera pulled away from the violence and other times when the camera really showed the violence.
Yeah, I agree.
It was like right in it.
Yeah, when the brother...
I think for me the most brutal part was the part where the boyfriend has like smushed his girlfriend's head into mush, and then the father takes him and shoves his head into her head.
Yeah.
Like almost like a dog, like
you rub their nose in it.
Kind of. It was really fucking, I was just like, oh, this is like distasteful.
Yeah. But you know, like,
feels like thematically resonant.
But then you get into those icky feelings, right? Because when the father and the brother are fighting and they're fighting like cats and dogs, you feel like this is what happens in this family.
Yeah.
Right? And do you feel like this is the first time it's like the violence is there before they're possessed?
Yes.
And it makes the whole thing feel so serious in a way. Because it's like, and the mother turning a blind eye to it, like this is what she's always done.
Yeah. And it almost, that moment felt to me almost like him saying like, fucking, like own your destiny kind of. Like the men in this family are violent. Like,
yeah.
Stop running away from it. Because the younger son is like kind of a little bit of a bitch.
Sure, yeah.
But like he comes into his manhood by coming into his violence.
Yes.
Which is problematic.
Right, the first time he like actually like fights back is he smashes his girlfriend's head in.
No, he stabs her in the neck and she says, you didn't shoot your father, but you find it so easy to kill me.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is a really interesting line.
Yeah,
there's a lot to unpack here through like a feminist lens.
For sure. And I think it's on the surface, but it's not like heavy-handed. I think a schmuck could see this movie and not totally get what they're trying to do.
Yeah, I think the husband's dialogue was a little heavy-handed in the beginning.
Yeah, he's like, I'm a bad guy.
Yeah. I'm very clearly abusive. See what you make me do?
Violent.
Yeah.
But it's also...
And he was like, at one point he's driving by himself and he just goes, fucking bitch. And yeah. I was like, oh boy. This guy, I hope this guy dies soon. And he does. He dies right after that.
I said to you, I hope he doesn't drunk drive into a
woman deadite.
Yes. Yeah, but it's also interesting because it's like she was waiting for him somehow.
Yeah.
There's some weird destiny here that
well, she says, doesn't happen to the other family.
Yes, yeah.
Because I guess they know the grandfather has the dagger.
Oh, right, because the grandfather.
Yeah.
Yeah. And there's also a thing like the grandfather left them, which creates this big hole in this family, which is interesting because like Professor Nobi's offspring are heroic in the other one. They're like, he left us and he put a hole in this family. And it's really, it's interesting.
And then the... there's one part where there's like a huge fighting sequence happening between the brother and the father. And in the background, the brother's wedding video is playing.
That was pretty awesome.
Which is pretty – it looked cool and also like I felt like was saying something about like how archaic like the marriage ritual is.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Let's talk about some of the cool shots. There is a shot that I want to call a contact shot that's right – you know the famous shot in the movie Contact? Where a girl is running towards the camera.
And it's a mirror.
And then it's a mirror.
Yeah.
But it doesn't make really make sense.
Yeah.
They do that.
Yeah.
They do that. The grandmother is fucking up the main girl. And she smashes her face into a mirror. But then we see the other side of it.
Yeah.
And it's super disorienting. So it's like she
shoves it into the camera? Or no. How does it... I'm trying to think...
You see it come, yeah,
coming
kind of,
at you. Yeah, yeah,
it
yeah,
does
yeah.
come at you.
Yeah,
and then it's like she's coming to us, and then it breaks, and then you see that it was a mirror that she was in.
There's also a part where the mother,
which is yes,
in the bathtub, the mother's taking her daughter-in-law, and she's like pulling her up.
Yes,
and
that's awesome.
The camera shifts so that it looks like she's still dragging her,
but they're on the ceiling. Yes, and then that was awesome.
The camera rights itself, and you see that she's dangling her from the ceiling.
That was awesome.
That was really cool.
And also at the end when she the main girl sets the house on fire. Finally, the husband comes back because he's been kind of coming back the whole movie. And you didn't see him at first. And she's like laying, and then the camera kind of like swoops over her, and we see the house upside down.
Yeah,
it's very cool.
My biggest complaint about the movie was I thought he looked awful. That CGI.
He looked
monster.
Very CGI-y.
It was not scary.
He looked like the Terminator.
Yeah, it was shitty. It was not scary at all.
No,
he was not scary. And he should have been the scariest.
But he was thematically poignant.
Of course, but like, it took me out of it to see how shitty he looked.
Well, they really want the route of like he's barely there,
and he's like the devil. He's like literally burning.
Yeah, he's like he burns you by touching you. He's like a deadite you've not seen before.
Yeah, they did a lot of it. You're right. This felt like an experiment in pushing.
Yeah,
pushing out of the tropes. Right.
But now that we talk about the mirror, and then at the end we see Ellie, the mother from Evil Dead Rise, in the mirror. Mirrors are a thing, right? Because in the first movie, Ash puts his hand through the mirror and it's like
water.
Yeah. And then the second one, an evil Ash comes out of the mirror.
Yeah, you're right.
Right? So mirrors being a thing in the Deadite world is kind of established in some way.
Well, I think it's like, to your point earlier.
But
like,
also there's Alice, right?
Yeah. Sometimes the Deadites are like reflections of the people that they had inhabited, like dark reflections.
Yeah.
There's a lot of also troubling, upsetting dialogue. A lot of people say, a lot of the Deadites in the family say to Alice, like, you like the violence. That's why you stayed with him.
Yeah.
Which is like, it's just triggering.
It's triggering, yeah. For sure. No, this would be extremely really, triggering movie really go for someone there. Who had suffered domestic violence.
Yeah. Like, the whole, that like, you liked it thing is really upsetting.
Yeah. Yeah.
How about she stabs the brother with the dagger, and then the demon leaves his body.
Yes,
we've never seen that before.
Yeah, the dagger works in some weird way, but like we said, for some reason she has the dagger that looks like the dagger from the original movie, and that's not the right one.
He pretends it's working, but he fakes her out and he goes, "That's not it."
Yeah, and then it's some other tiny
little one. It was very like Indiana Jones, like it's the one you least.
Yeah, yeah, you're right, exactly.
There's a tiny little.
Yeah, the fact that it like undoes it.
Somebody behind us went, "That's a shank."
Oh, there was a colorful crowd.
Oh, there certainly was.
Yeah, that's something new that you could like be unpossessed by that. Typically in Evil Dead, whenever people seem to be unpossessed, it's always a fake out.
Yeah, I was just going to say, I think it's the first time we've ever seen somebody be unpossessed and it actually was genuine.
Yeah, yeah. So the use of ironic music, which goes all the way back to the original, is present here.
Mm-hmm.
It's at the funeral, they say, "We're going to play your wedding song," and it's some French song.
Mm-hmm.
And then it comes back later on, it's during some fight scene.
She finds a walkie-talkie, and she's like, "Hello, hello, somebody come in," and then it starts playing. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, yeah. And then it's placed during the credits.
Yeah,
well.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the last one is in a like apartment building.
High rise, yeah.
It's not really a high rise. I think that's what we all thought it was going to be because it was called Evil Dead Rise. But it's still not a secluded area. This is
it's a
house.
Apartment building.
Yes. But it's a three-story one.
Oh, no. But doesn't it have like a garage?
Oh, it might. I don't remember.
I feel like the ending is they put it in the garage.
Didn't they say like it was an old bank or something like that?
Oh, maybe. Yeah, I don't know. I only saw it once.
I got to rewatch all these movies.
And they kind of just find the Necronomicon there, right?
Yeah.
For some reason.
Yeah. This movie, if this movie does anything, it kind of is like, you don't need to find a Necronomicon. You don't got to say the words. You don't got to do the recording.
Yeah.
Let's just get there. These things exist.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe they're built. The next one's called Evil Dead Scorn, which is cool. Rise, burn, scorn.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what it means, but I wonder if they are building towards something like the Deadites are trying to take over the world or whatever. But going back to what I was saying before, like the thing about the Deadites was they never really had a goal. It was always like just absolute chaos.
Gleefully torture.
Right.
And convert as many people as possible.
Right. And they would do creepy laughing or like baby talk. There's
and then
none
later,
of that in this.
I mean, there was like the fucking the head, the moose head laughing.
Yeah.
Which even in the musical, the moose head sings, remember?
Yes.
But like, I miss that stuff. I know it's a totally different brand, right? It's just different tonally. But something that I feel like was missing from this one that was in Evil Dead Rise and all the others was that like, this like endless night, one night that just keeps going on and on and on.
Yeah.
And like at one point in the original Evil Dead, like the clock's going backwards.
Right. Where it's like
the night's never gonna end.
This one felt almost like, it felt like a very fast movie.
Yeah. Oh yeah. I remember at one point being like, it feels like this is almost over.
Right.
Which is weird.
Yeah.
How long was it? Like 90 minutes?
Probably.
Ish. It felt fast.
It kind of just goes. Like once you get to the house. I don't know. What do you think of the house as a setting? Because it's like,
it feels like
it's also like who they say that they gave it to the brother, but also the grandmother seems to be there. So the brother takes care of the grandmother. Like I'm confused as to what this house is and why is it like that?
Yeah, I was confused. And then he's like, the father's yelling at the brother, you let the house fall into ruin.
Right. So it's like,
but the grandmother's like, stuff is there.
I don't understand it.
Yeah, I didn't get it.
Yeah, I don't understand it either. It did feel, I don't know, a different setting might have been fun.
Yeah, it felt very like Cabin in the Woods again.
Yeah.
Which I think the fun of the last one was that it was like, it can be anywhere.
Right. And remember the last one, they did a lot of fun things with like the people and hallway.
Yes.
And
the different neighbors.
Yeah. And remember they do a great thing in the last one where they kind of homage the tree sexual assault scene by the mother going into like the elevator and all the things coming, the wires. Yes. Yeah. There was nothing like that in this. There were some, you know, like the original one had this thing of like the evil, the point of view of the evil, which would be like this very fast moving.
They camera. Hinted at that.
They do it a little bit, but it's not really.
I guess now, you know, looking back, I guess you could say it's about all horror, but like this movie specifically, there has been like this running thing of like violence against women.
Yes.
And I mean, like they make it a point, at least from what I remember in the original, of like you see the trees like opening her legs. So she's like being penetrated by it.
Did they do that in the remake?
I think.
Or do they?
Oh, I don't know. I think they did. I think they did do that in the remake.
God, I wish I remember. Do they? I feel like they did. I don't know. Let me ask the Google machine.
I know that girl who played Mia was then on that ABC sitcom Suburbia.
And she was in Shameless. I'm going to get on the list.
Why? What do you
by Googling tree R? Yes, Evil Dead 2013 remake does include a version of the infamous tree assault scene. The character Mia is attacked by the demonically possessed woods. That's another thing. It didn't like. There's a thing in the original movie. It's like it's in the woods. The woods are alive.
Yeah, it's the woods themselves. Ash, remember?
Yeah. Whereas this, like, the only thing kind of hinting towards that is like, there's disembodied voices sometimes. Like, she hears the husband's voice even if he's not there.
But then I thought that was supposed to be, like, PTSD.
Oh, yeah. That could be, too. But the father hears it, too, at one point.
Yeah, true.
It's, you know what I think might be one of the reasons why this feels, like, a little bit more of a bummer? Is because outside of our protagonist, there's no other likable characters.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas, like, in the last one, there was a family with little kids, like...
I also felt like I didn't really get to know our protagonist, either. And, like, I wanted her to survive, because she was the protagonist.
Right.
And she had been abused. Yeah, right. But I feel like I didn't know her. The character development.
She's French. That's
all
you
need to know.
She's French. And I guess she's dealing with PTSD, and she's dealing with weird, like, relief that he's dead, but sadness, too.
Well, at one point, the father, as a deadite, says, you're happy he's dead.
Yes. Yeah. Right.
There's a lot of just like, God, she's just abused through the whole movie, physically, verbally.
Yeah.
By everyone. It's horrible.
The other girlfriend character, I think, is truly underwritten.
Yes, for sure.
And gets the most, like, I guess what will now be the most iconic thing, which is like the car thing through her.
Yeah, that was fucking wild.
Although I loved when she's on top of him and he's the she pushes the boyfriend onto. Oh no, she just says boo and he slips.
Yeah,
and he falls backwards on the door of the dishwasher, which of course you put your knives and everything knife up, and then she gets on him and she's like like, it kind of looks like sex, but like he's
and
just
he's being penetrated.
Yeah. And then she's like, I was your first.
I'll make sure I'm going to be your last.
Yeah. Yeah. And then she like kisses him on the head. Like, that was fun. She was fun. Like, she felt like Deadites of old.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? She was having fun being a Deadite.
She was having a blast.
Yeah. Like, these Deadites who like are angry and have like feeling, like, I don't want that.
The grandmother, the scene in the bedroom with the grandmother and the husband felt very Dracula. Like, it didn't feel like Deadites. And I'm sure it was an homage, right? But it felt, none of that felt, it all was like very vampire-y.
I agree.
Even to the point of like, you have to let him in.
Yeah.
Where like the mother, the grandmother is like motioning to the window.
Yes, so that
the daughter has to go open the window to let the...
Yeah, so, yeah.
That's not Evil Dead.
But I did like the grandmother...
Like, and she's like floating.
Yeah, yeah, which happens in the... Yeah. But I did like that. I liked her with the sheet over her and like that was very cool. I think another thing about this movie is...
And she was...
Like,
sorry, she was missing her teeth, so it looked like she had fangs.
Yeah. I feel like the Deadites in this are not Deadite-y enough.
Like, no.
Even compared to Rise, like, I feel like they got the gold eyes, which I don't remember if that was a thing in Rise, the gold pupils. And then they just look like, before they mutilate themselves, they just look, like, haggard. Like, the mutilation brings out more violence. Whereas, like, if you look at the original Evil Dead, like, once you're possessed, you're like a monster. Like, kind of almost immediately. Yeah. And then people monsters.
They become, like, weird, bizarro versions of themselves. Like, remember the girlfriend has, like, crazy makeup on?
Yes.
And like her hair's in pigtails and she's like a little girl giggling and everything. Right. Like, they become weird little, like, the demons have like little personalities.
But remember like Henrietta in part two? Like, she's like a monster.
Oh yeah.
Or like the boyfriend in part two, the blonde guy, he gets like a monster face.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Dead by dawn. Yeah, I wouldn't mind. So this movie seems to be, what is it on Rotten Tomatoes? People, it seems to be making decent money, you know, not money like Obsession, but it probably didn't cost very much. It's got 71% on Rotten Tomato.
I feel like all that, I guess CGI is cheap now.
And horror is just, because none of these are stars or whatever.
Right.
So it's 71% critic rating, 78% fan rating. So it's fairly good.
What's the overall like verdict for Rotten Tomatoes? Like, what does it say at the top?
I don't think they do that anymore.
They don't?
I don't think they do the consensus anymore.
Whoa.
Yeah, they don't. Oh, critic consensus. No, I'm wrong. Sebastian Vanek spills guts with glory in this latest installment of Evil Dead, featuring the meanest, nastiest, ickiest chapter that is sure to leave fans with a wickedly satisfying burn for more.
Huh. Well, it's fresh. It's not certified fresh, but it's still fresh.
Because I guess it didn't get up to 75.
Yeah, I'm confused about how that works.
I got super into it when Masters of the Universe came out. You have to reach 75 to become
certified
press. But then as more ratings come in, you dip down, you can still keep it unless you go under 70.
Okay, but here's my question, and I've always wondered about this. How the fuck do you take a nuanced essay and turn it into a metric score?
Well, that's the thing. Like, how they...
Like, where do these numbers come from?
Well, that's the thing. Somebody, or maybe it was a person originally and now it's some sort of system, but somebody reads every review and makes the decision if it's a yes or a no, because it's a binary.
But it also, there has to be a score out of 100 to get to this average out of 100.
Yeah.
So I guess everyone is a score out of 100. They give it like a, this would be a 75, this would be a...
Oh.
And then average them all together to get the...
I guess. Yeah, I guess. Who the hell knows?
Yeah.
Sadly, it's got a stranglehold over how we think about movies now. Even though it's a shitty system.
That's so interesting. You're right. I feel like I remember growing up, it would be like Siskel and Ebert give this two thumbs up.
Now it's
everything
rotten.
Is like, it's 100% on Rotten Tomatoes. Like, I remember when Rotten Tomatoes was a site that Hollywood wanted to distance itself from. And now they like way lean into it.
And now if it gets shitty critics, but the fans love it, they'll be like, the fans have spoken.
Yeah.
Critics.
Scream 7's the best.
Critics don't know anything. I remember when that awful John Travolta, John Gotti movie.
Oh, God.
It had a positive
Gotti?
Fan. Yeah. It had a positive fan score, at least at some point. And the trailer was like, the critics don't want you to see this.
Yeah, that's so funny.
All right, so that's basically it. There'll be more Evil Dead. I haven't talked myself out of it. I did like this movie. I did like the last movie. I do like this brand or this IP or this franchise or whatever you want to call it, because I do think it does. It's not really zombies. It does a different thing.
No, I'm happy to have it. I'm happy that, like, as much as before I was like, oh, it used to be niche. Like, I'm happy it's in the mainstream now.
Right.
It's cool that we're getting new Evil Dead stories where for a while we were like, oh, this. Remember when it was like Ash herself with Evil Dead? That's never going to get made.
Right. No, there was definitely a wilderness time.
Yeah.
There was a time where it was like,
it was niche.
Yeah. But I do think that the series could benefit from a little bit more Ash.
Is this the same director?
As the last one?
Yeah.
No.
So is it the same screenwriters?
Let me see.
Because then otherwise...
The last one was Lee Cronin.
So that makes it... Like, if there's...
This is Sebastian Vanek.
Kind of a trilogy.
It's written by Sebastian Vanek and Florent Bernard, and Sebastian Vanek directed it. And then Evil Dead Rise was Lee Cronin and Lee Cronin. He wrote and directed it. But he's a producer on this.
Okay.
And he also made a Mummy movie, which people say is like an Evil Dead movie. Uh-huh. They're like, this has nothing. This is nothing like the Universal Mummy movie. Yeah. This is much more like an Evil Dead movie. But yeah, you know, I think one way you could bring in some of that Ashness is bring back this final girl. You know?
Yeah.
It's cool that there's a new thing every time, but if you bring back some of these people,
mm-hmm.
bring back Mia from the remake. Have her fucking be like an old fucking, I don't know, she's an old hand at this.
Yeah.
Like killing deadites.
That'd be fun.
Well, Anthony, thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you for talking about Evil Dead
with me. Thank you for being a friend.
We come out every single Wednesday. We're your one-stop shop for non-toxic fandom and pop culture ephemera. From the popular to the esoteric. From the retro to the contemporary.
Whoa.
This is Pop Culture Man Children, the only podcast that reaches the beaches and rules the pools. We end every episode by saying...
Go bye-bye.